And we're back, 11:18 in the morning. Jay Munchie here on EA Radio. And Meg Mino-Mel joins me in studio along with Jeff Shoup from Noah Sarset. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you. 25th anniversary of Noah.
It is. We've been in operation here since 1982. We've had over 22,000 rescues since then, attributed to the Sarset program, or COSPA Sarset, internationally. And well over 5,500 here in the United States alone. Many of those aviation rescues as well, including the maritime and hikers in distress.
Wow. Well, congratulations and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we'll be celebrating come October. We're celebrating the first launch and then first rescue as well, that first month that the satellite went up.
And thanks for the stickers and patches, too.
Hey, stop by the booth, and we got those for everybody else out there as well.
So they can get the visual, because it translates so well on radio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it comes in well.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about one of these stickers here. It says, get the fix, switch to 406. And it's got a 121.5 megahertz ELT, don't go there symbol, slashed out. Tell us what that means.
What that means is come February 1st, 2009, we're going to be turning off the satellites for the 121.5 frequency. And most pilots out there know that they're flying on their ELT is a 121.5 ELT. So what that translates into is all those pilots who keep that 121.5 ELT on their aircraft are going to be flying without the satellite coverage, kind of that security blanket of someone looking for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you kind of go back into that 1970s technology of relying on other pilot overflights, and it's going to take a lot longer for you to get that information to the Rescue Coordination Center. You're going to rely on overdue notices to get that information out there before the Civil Air Patrol can go out there and start looking for you and possibly flying if you file your flight plan, fly your route, and start looking for that 121 beacon. Whereas with the new 406 beacon now, the satellites will continue to look for that, much as they have been for the last 25 years. And you'll have that instantaneous almost notification now at crash. With the 406 beacon, you no longer have to rely on the lower Earth orbiting satellites. We have the geostationary satellites that are always overhead and always looking down over the United States and most of the worldwide. So you're getting almost instantaneous notification of a distress situation going off when it actually happens, as opposed to having to wait for a satellite to pass overhead, or worse yet, wait for a pilot to pass overhead.
Well, now, what does it take for a pilot to switch to 406?
It's going to take a new ELT. Unfortunately, you can't update the older one. It is a brand new technology. Instead of the old analog signal going off, you now have a digital signal. And part of the reason for doing this is that digital signal now can include a unique identification number to each ELT specifically. So now, when that aircraft goes down, we know exactly whose aircraft it is, which aircraft we're looking for, what color it's going to be, what we're actually looking for out there. And more importantly for the search and rescue people is, with that information, we know who you are and what your phone number is, so we can give you a call. And if your aircraft's sitting in the hangar right now, we don't have to launch Civil Air Patrol, put them at risk if they're in danger for going out while they're looking, and also cost the government. If it's a boat in distress, we send the Coast Guard out. And for one C-130 flight time, it's about $14,000 for 1 hour of flight time when you include crew and gas and all that and maintenance. So it is pretty expensive to go out on a false alert. So we can cancel that false alert with just one phone call.
And that's something they mentioned yesterday, that every time I hear this, I have to remember that the NTSB is not all about aviation. Not that that's not important to us, but the reason why that matters is our problems aren't the only things that you guys are dealing
right.
with.
So, exactly.
You know, we've got maritime issues and also, yeah. You know, highway
issues. We've got in hikers out there now. We've got our new personal locator beacons, which a lot of pilots are actually pulling into their flight bag. Take a little personal locator beacon, we call it the PLB, with them. And instead of switching out their ELT to a 406 ELT or doing that as well, you throw one of these PLBs into your flight bag. And if something happens to you, you go down and you're getting satellite coverage with the 406 that way as well.
Jeff, do you have any idea about regulatory issues? What's going to be mandated for those of us who own our own airplanes?
That we might want to go talk to the FAA about.
So you're not involved in that?
We're a little bit involved. Right now, regulatory-wise, the FAA has said that they're not going to mandate a 406 ELT in your aircraft. The Coast Guard, you speak of the other world, the maritime world out there, they've regulated 406 EPIRBs out there. So we're seeing the last of the 121.5 EPIRBs disappear. But there's still 250,000 aircraft here in the United States alone flying with 121 ELTs. At this point in time, the FAA has said, no, we're not going to mandate 406 ELTs. We're gonna let people decide on their own. You still need to fly with an ELT, so you either have to keep your 121.5 ELT in your aircraft or a 406 ELT, which will have a 121.5 Homer. And the FAA will actually even tell you that it's not them who can change this rule. It was an act of Congress back in the 1970s that said you must fly with a 121.5 ELT. Those numbers are in the Act of Congress that say 121.5. So the FAA kind of says, well, we can't tell you to fly with a 406 ELT when Congress says it's okay to fly with a 121.5.
So those of us who have our own airplane, an easy resolution to this would probably be to keep our 121.5 ELT in the aircraft and carry a personal EPIRB.
That's our second choice option we're telling people.
For those of us that rent, and we can't make the decision for the FBO to go ahead and retroactively install these.
And carry your own.
Yeah, it sounds like the personal locator beacon, is that what that acronym stands for?
Yep.
Your personal locator beacon would be your only fix.
Exactly.
Getting the fix.
Get the fix, exactly.
Yeah. Very nice. See how I tied that in.
get it out there, get the fix, you know? Yeah, exactly. So if you're renting and don't have that choice to change your ELT out, obviously we would prefer, because what the difference is ELT is in the aircraft, it's always there, and it's got that G-switch and activator in it. And so when the plane hits the ground hard, it's going to set off automatically. Whereas with the manual activation of the PLB, you got to be awake and you got to be able to get to it.
Well, you activate it before you hit the ground.
Yeah,
that's the key, right?
Well,
I'm trying to fly the plane, though. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it sounds like having both wouldn't be, you know, backups and redundancy is something that we keep pushing, in aviation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And if you get in some sort of situation with the aircraft after you've gone down and you're separated from that aircraft, I know not everybody is able to, for conditions, stay at the crash site for whatever reason, you still got a means of finding.
If you're over water and your plane sinks, your ELT is gone.
There's a good example.
Exactly. Well, we have about 5 minutes before the user fee forum. Mel, it's actually the user fee forum today, not the administrator.
Right.
The user fee forum at 11:30, which we're going to bring you live. We have about five more minutes left. Jeff, describe to us briefly what happens when an ELT goes off.
When an ELT goes off, the alert goes up, obviously, to the satellites, comes back down to one of the 44 different ground stations around the world. In the United States, we've got six of them here, ranging from Guam all the way back over to Florida, including California and Alaska. They come down into there, and that's where all the, I like to say, fancy math happens. They'd use the Doppler effect as the satellite's passing overhead to pick up where the location of the beacon is at. Relays it on to the Mission Control Center just outside Washington, D.C., where we can geo-sort it into whether it's a Coast Guard alert or an Air Force alert. If it's inland SAR, it's going to the Air Force. If it's out on the ocean or somewhere, the Coast Guard's going to get that alert. And then from there, we can launch the rescue, whether that's launching Civil Air Patrol, sending a ground team out, sending an aircraft out, or sending Coast Guard, whether it's a C-130 boat or one of their helicopters. And so from there, we've seen a couple examples. We had an incident where a helicopter went down in Washington State. They set off a PLB. They had a 121.5 ELT on their helicopter and then a 406. We got that alert, I believe about 8:15 at night, and within an hour and 40 minutes, they were on their way to the hospital. So in the middle of nowhere, Washington State, on your way to the hospital in an hour and 40 minutes, when they were actually out camping that night and weren't expected in, so no overdue notice was going to come in for at least 24 hours when they were expected home, that was pretty impressive, and it shows that the system does work.
Wow. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.